Well, I'm going to take you to Isaiah 43 today. So the whole chapter of Isaiah 43, it's a really good one. If you sit in it for a little bit, you're going to find all kinds of good stuff. You're going to find a call to courage for God's people. We need that sometimes, right? There is comfort and encouragement in the challenges they face. Anybody think that might be relevant? There is this overarching promise in the chapter that God is reminding them, first and foremost, that they are loved and that they are seen and that He has a purpose for them, even in hard places. So let me read it to you again. I'm going to read it to you in a different translation because sometimes when we step into the unfamiliar, or hear it a different way, it hits us differently. So this is the New Living Translation. So verse 16 says this, "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." So up to that point with those verses, that's a reminder of God had delivered His people, right? It was dramatic. It was powerful. It was unexpected. It was unforgettable. Like, they're trapped against the Red Sea, no place to go, no place to hide. This is it. This is where our story ends, and then He parts the water. So it's that dramatic event that it points to. And then, here's how it says it in the New Living Translation, when you get to 19, "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new." See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Or do you not perceive it? "I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." That's a good verse, isn't it? Like, put it on a sticky note and put it in your car or on a mirror, like where you're going to keep running into that one. Put it on a coffee cup. Put it in a frame. Like, it's one of those that you're like, that is so good. It's this verse that speaks of hope and anticipation that God is up to something. It's this verse of encouragement that it may not look like it, it may not feel like it, but God is doing something new. It's already happening. And so then you come to the question, do you see it? So here's why that question matters. It has to do with the context in which it was given. So the context is, this is the word of encouragement, a word of hope for the Israelites who were exiles in Babylon, which means they're prisoners of war. They are slaves. They don't have rights. They don't have privileges. They just serve. And so captivity is where they live. Captivity is their life. Captivity is all they know, and captivity is all they can see. And so in the middle of that, that's when this word is spoken to them. So if you remember the history, that's where they would do 70 years. So a couple generations would live in that place. And so for them, being in that place of captivity, like, you can imagine how it might seem difficult to believe that God is for you, right? Like, they look back on the old times, right? The parting of the Red Sea, and it's like they knew, okay, we are God's people. He's chosen us. But now in captivity, it feels a little more like we were your people, but now it doesn't feel like that. It almost feels like you've forgotten us. And so this little verse offers a word of hope for the discouraged and disillusioned people. God is up to something, despite what you see. And so then there's that question, right? Can you see it? Or another way to say it would be this. Are you even looking for it? So here's what makes that verse so interesting, right? So powerful. What exactly are they supposed to be looking for? The backdrop is the ideas of the wandering in the wilderness, right? And so here's what they're supposed to be looking for. Two things. Pathways in the wilderness and rivers in the dry wasteland. So here's what I want you to notice. Two things that if you found them, you would be shocked and surprised, because those aren't things you usually find in those places. You would be surprised. You would be hopeful. You would be thankful. And you would be expectant because you found these things. So let's look at them one at a time. Pathways in the wilderness. So if you think of wilderness as a wide open, barren space, not a place where there's roads, so you kind of find your way, you make your path, you meander through, and there's not a road to follow. It's just wide open spaces. But this word indicates that God is going to place a path through that wide open space. So here's what I want you to think. When you think wide open space and no path to follow, and then you find a path, there's a couple things you immediately know. So somebody has been here before, and that path goes someplace. So to find the road through the wilderness is this sense of, wait a second, this goes someplace. That's the beauty of finding that path, finding that road. So that's the first image, is the road in the wilderness that you didn't expect to find, but there it is. That probably goes someplace. Here's the second image, rivers in dry wasteland. You immediately see like the disconnect of those two pictures, right? Dry wasteland and rivers. Those don't go together. And so one of the major challenges when you get into these barren spaces, these wilderness spaces, is the lack of resources. In this case, one of the huge ones is the lack of water. So if you're going to survive at any length of time in those wilderness spaces, those dry, barren places, one, you need water. So imagine you're wandering through those dry, barren places and you stumble onto a water source, a well, a spring of some kind, and you're like, yes, we found water. And so you fill everything up that you can fill, and you drink everything you can drink, and you carry all of that with you, and then you're looking for the next water source. So how different is it then to stumble onto a river in the dry wasteland? It's not once fill it up and then move on. You follow that life-giving path. You follow that river. So it's the same idea as the road, only there's this life-giving piece to it. You follow that, and that's your road of hope in the wilderness. So those are the two images you have. Here's what you're looking for. God is up to something. It's something new. Two things I want you to look for. In that barren, wide open space, look for a path. And then look for a river. So you can see why that's a little bit of an unexpected thing to say, watch for it. But this is what God is doing. So, again, who is this spoken to? It's the word of God to the exiles. So, I know captivity is all you see right now, but be on the lookout for a road that's going somewhere from your exile. And be on the lookout for a river of life that flows from your place of exile. So here's the challenge. Do you see evidence that God is at work and showing up. Well, that was their challenge in captivity, and it's ours, right? I don't know you, I don't know your stories, but here's what I do know without ever meeting you or having a conversation with you. Some of you have some hard stuff right now. That's just life, right? I don't have to have any special level of discernment to know some of you are going through it. So maybe in those hard spaces you find yourselves in right now, what if God is up to something? What if it's more than misery? What if God is doing something and you just haven't looked for it yet? Do you see it? Or the way we paraphrased it, are you even looking? So this is a really good image for you guys. I understand that you're kind of starting this journey into understanding discernment, right? And so discernment, it's about watching, listening, waiting, perceiving, trusting that God is up to something. And so the questions of discernment are, what is God saying? What is God doing? Where is God leading? We're watching, we're listening, we're expecting God to show up. And so discernment starts where you are. So for the people in captivity, where did the new thing start that they were looking for? Right in that place in captivity. And so here's what I want to do, just not knowing your story, but knowing there's a story, is invite you to a sense of hope and expectation. To engage your faith in a way that you start to wonder, okay, what is God doing in this space? So I want to take just a couple minutes to press on this wilderness idea. I'm not the first or the last. You can probably find books on it, right? In fact, I'm not saying probably you can, because I've read some of them. But I want to talk to you about navigating these wilderness spaces, because it's a strong image, and there are different times where we relate to them, right? And the reminder I want to give you today is that God works uniquely in these wilderness spaces. And we're going to unpack that just a little bit. So you don't know me and I don't know you, but part of my story is that I found myself in a hard space several years ago. I found myself in an unwanted season of transition that wasn't of my doing, and it was hard. I found myself resonating in that period of transition, resonating with these images of the harsh wilderness. Like, yes, that's my story right now. All the trials, the challenges, the barren space. So I don't know what you think of when you think of wilderness. I've got four kids who went to Grand Canyon University, which is in Phoenix. So I picture the desert spaces in Phoenix. And if you've ever been out there, anybody? If you've been out there, it is dry. Like, you don't go without water. And here's the other thing, like I noticed, everything is sharp and prickly and can hurt you. Like, it's weird. Like, why is everything sharp and prickly in this desert space? And that's what I picture when I picture these wilderness spaces in our lives. That's what it felt like in my life. Like, it's just this dangerous, oppressive space. And so for the Israelites, like when they found themselves going through the wilderness, it was this difficult space. But here's the good thing. Like as they went through that hard space, they're going somewhere, weren't they? They were going to the promised land. So their time of slavery, that was behind them. The promised land was ahead of them. But then there's that wilderness space they find themselves in. A harsh space. A desperate space. And do you remember what they said when they were in the middle of their wilderness space? They had this little way of seeing things, and they said, remember when we had it so good when we were slaves? Like, how desperate do you have to be to look back at your slavery and say, we had it really good? But it gives you this picture of that's how desperate this space was for them, that they're looking back on their slavery and saying, I mean, it wasn't that bad. Like, that's the wilderness space, right? It's that hard. And that's what I was identifying with. As I went through a season of transition, my own wilderness, it was that challenge, that struggle, that isolation, the extreme conditions, not a place you and I want to spend a lot of time. And so that's what I related to, and maybe you do too. When you hear somebody say about wilderness, like, yep, uncomfortable, unpredictable, challenging, desperate, like, wilderness spaces. And if you're not in the middle of one of those spaces, I'm going to guess you know somebody who is. Like, we all get to dabble with those wilderness spaces. And in those spaces, like, the struggles are real, the wounds are real, the disappointments are real, the losses are real. Again, if you're in that space, you know it. Or if you know somebody in that space, you're like, man, yes, that is really hard stuff. And so in those places, like, sometimes it just feels like this is the whole world right now and we can't see beyond it. And I have no doubt that some of you are like, you know my story. I don't. But I know the biblical story that tells the human story. The wilderness spaces, they're those places none of us would ever sign up for, would we? Like, if God approached you and said, hey, I was thinking I might send you some rough challenges, and here's the good news. Like, it'll be kind of a long time, but your faith is going to thrive there. Like, you're going to grow. How many would be like, well, you know, okay. Like, most of us would be like, so let me just lay this out. I actually prefer to grow my faith in comfortable, predictable places. Like, that's how I like it, even though we look back on our story and say, yeah, it's never actually grown there. It always grows in the hard spaces. And so this wilderness idea, this harsh space, it applies to any time in your life where you've experienced loss, discomfort, discontent, or despair. Anybody? Maybe? A place we would opt out of if we could. And so every day, every week, every month, every year you spend in those harsh spaces, like, it is hard and it takes a toll, doesn't it? It can make you feel exhausted and stressed out. And, you know, you talk about how those wilderness spaces are what build your faith. Here's what it felt like to me. At times in my wilderness space, it doesn't feel like it's building it. It feels like it's stripping it down. Like, it was a place of struggle. Like, at times I felt like, do I even know what faith is? I mean, I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. How am I struggling this much? So, quick glimpse into the story. So, I was a pastor for almost 10 years out in Washington State near Seattle. There's a whole long, messy story there, but the short version is we moved from Seattle, mountaintops, snow-capped mountains, to the cornfields of Ohio. You're not where you were, right? And it was a really, really hard transition for my family, for my kids. It was a really hard transition for me. For a while, I stepped away from pastoral ministry, and like, it was hard. Like, we left friends. We left community. We left a church that loved us and a church that we loved. And we step into this uncomfortable space. And I had no illusions. Seriously, I had no illusions like, this is going to be easy. I knew it was going to be hard. I just had no idea how hard this would feel. How barren that space would feel. I was caught off guard by the weight of my grieving and how long it lasted. Honestly, I was caught off guard by some of the resentments that I had. Like, again, Tim, you're a pastor. Like, sort the stuff out. But it just was hard. I struggled to make peace with that wilderness season. Anybody? Like, this is the stuff, right? So the difficulty and the desperation, that's all part of that wilderness season. But it doesn't capture all of it. And this is kind of where God took me to kind of get a different vantage point. So one of the things about your wilderness spaces is the fact that quite often it's a place on the way or in between another place, right? So this is big for me to kind of catch this. It's a hard place you go through on your way to another place. So from that perspective, here's what I invite you to see. You're not where you were. You're not where you will be. You're in this place in between. So for the Israelites, right? You're not slaves in Egypt anymore. And you're not in the promised land. You're in the wilderness in between or on the way. So slavery was their past, promised land is their future, but in between is that hard space. It's a harsh place, an unsettled place, a refining place. It's a place of transition. Anybody find yourself like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Not where I was, not where I'm hoping to be. I'm in this in-between place. And so we all go through those spaces. And here's the questions I want to start asking you, and hopefully they stick with you. What if we viewed those wilderness spaces as more than misery? What if we began to see those hard places as an in-between place where God is working to prepare us for the next season? What if we viewed the wilderness experience of life as opportunities to hear God uniquely? That's a different way to see them. So here's what I want you to see. Let's take the Israelites again. God had a plan and a purpose for his people, right? So he took them out of slavery. He's moving them toward the promised land. But here's what I want you to see. So his will was the promised land. That's where he was taking them. That's God's will for them. But in between, the center of God's will was the wilderness. The center of God's will was that wilderness space. Anybody else like, I don't like that, I don't think. But God has some things that he does in those wilderness places. In other words, here's how I would describe it. It's a place of purpose. It's not misery for the sake of misery. It's a place of forming and refinement. So go back to the verse in Isaiah 43. I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'm going to make a pathway through the wilderness and create rivers in dry wasteland. So their context is captivity. It's all they see, all they know. But here's the promise. I'm up to something. I'm doing something new. And here's what I want to encourage you with. To see that God is present. God is intentional. God is faithful. And God is active in every season you find yourself in, including the wilderness season. So God has a plan and a purpose for you beyond your wilderness season. He does. But he also has a plan and purpose for you in the middle of that wilderness season. Do you see it? Are you even looking? God was present with the Israelites all along the way. Deuteronomy 29 says this, for 40 years I led you through the wilderness. I led you through the wilderness, right? Your clothes didn't wear out. Your sandals didn't wear out. You had no bread. You drank no wine. I provided for you so you would know that I am the Lord. there was a purpose in that wilderness space. Is it possible God has a purpose for you in the space you find yourself in? A couple other things. One of the nagging issues with the wilderness space is we just want to know how long it's going to last. Like, just give me a timeline. Let me know how long I kind of have to steel myself to get through this. And then, I will buckle down and I'll be like, okay, I need faith to get me through the next year or 2 years. Like, if I know, I can kind of buckle down and lean into it. But we don't get that in the wilderness spaces, do we? Like, you're just there until you're done. That's a hard thing for us. We always like to throw out, God's timing is not your timing, which is great when you're telling somebody else, right? And it's so true. Like, God's timing is not your timing, but man, when it is my life in the midst of that, like, okay, whatever. I want to know God's timing here. I want to know how long do I have to do this? Because when we're in the middle of it, like, we can't see beyond it, can we? We want to get to the next place. So think of it like a family road trip, right? You're on your way to Disney World or wherever you're going, and, you know, in between your house and Disney World, there's that whole journey. And if you've done that with kids, you're like, oh, it's a journey, right? And no matter how hard you try to make that a great journey, like, by the end, everybody is just like, let's just get there, right? And that's kind of how our wilderness spaces can seem, right? Like, remember the questions the kids ask? How much longer? When are we going to get there? Anybody feel like you have those whiny questions in the middle of your stuff? God, how much longer? When are we going to get there? The psalmist asked those questions in Psalm 13 like this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? I love that that's in Scripture. Because that is the cry of our heart sometimes in the middle of the stuff, isn't it? Like, how long? It feels like you've forgotten me. Did you? How long? Like, it feels like you're hiding. How long? Like, what I wrestle with and what I carry, how long do I have to carry this? The sorrow in my heart, like, it feels like it's been so long. How long, O Lord? Tell me how long I got to do this. Like, I love that the psalmist writes this because he's like, hey, just so you know, God, I'm ready to be done with that part. How much longer? So we live with these questions, right? How much longer? Don't you wish you had that spiritual GPS where you get to watch your dot on the map and tell you how much longer? Like, how do we live without that? But man, if I could have that on my journey, like, hey, if I can just follow the dot and kind of see how much longer, easy. But God is not just about getting us to the next destination. God forms us all along the way on the journey. In other words, in God's economy, the journey counts just as much as the destination. The whole journey matters. So he's not just interested in getting us to the promised land, but I'm going to form you along the way. So here's what I want to give you. I want to invite you to start to look at maybe a hard season, a wilderness season, instead of as a place of misery that you just want to get through. It's okay if you feel that, but also a place of purpose where God is up to something and I want to see it. The wilderness is never easy, but it's always valuable and God never wastes it. And it's in those harsh in-between spaces that we sense our greatest need of Jesus. I mean, I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. I've been a pastor for a lot of years. But I just got to tell you, what I experienced in that wilderness season was a depth and an honesty with God that was deeper than what I had ever known before. Like to take your burdens and not just your joys and say, this is the stuff I'm living with and carrying, and I don't see an end in sight. Like, I don't know whether you recognize it, but that is intimate. You don't take that stuff to just anybody. So to bring that stuff to God and say, here's the brokenness that I live with. Here's the hard stuff that I carry. Here are the questions that I don't have answers for yet. Here's where it doesn't feel like you showed up. Like, those are deep, penetrating stuff. And what happens in those places, we land in this emotional space that triggers out of necessity our faith. And it's the space of desperation. See, in places of desperation, we lose all the illusions that we're in control. We just come face to face that okay, I can't force my way out or force my way through. Here's what I believe. God is good. God is at work, even though I can't see it all from where I am. Those spaces are where our faith gets engaged in new ways. I'll tell you this, as a pastor for over 30 years now, my faith is deeper and more significant. Sometimes I refer to it this way. I felt like my faith was one-dimensional, and now it's three-dimensional because of the journey that I had to go through. Like, it's the difference of a circle on a page or a ball. Like, because of the journey I had to go through. So God uses these wilderness seasons to form us. And though we would love to not repeat any of these, if you look back on your story, you're like, oh yeah, I see it, how God has formed me all along the way. When he takes me out of my comfort zone and away from distractions and shakes my pride and my illusion of control, where he shakes me from apathy and my willy-nilly faith, and brings me to that place where I hear his whisper and long to see his work. So I'm going to leave you with a picture at the end here to take with you. So I don't know what they do in school now, but I know when my kids were all growing up, they all came home with the same project in elementary school at one point. It was a little styrofoam cup full of dirt and some seeds. And so here's what they were told to do. Put it someplace where the sun can get on it, water it every day, and then watch for something to grow out of that cup. And so every day we'd sit it right up on our sink. I can remember we did it with all four of them. You sit it up on the sink, and every day they would come in before school and they would grab it. Nope, it's just dirt. And they would put some water on it, and they'd stick it back in the windowsill. And they did this every day, right? And then there's that one day where they pick it up off the windowsill, and they say, wait, it look, I think there's something in there. Is that a green? It's tiny, but it looks like it. And so then they would put it back on the windowsill, but the next day, right, the next day they're like, there it is! One of them I know grew grass out of a cup. I mean, I could have mowed it. Like, it was thick, full grass. I'm like, why can't I get it to grow on my lawn like that? Like, that's what... But, like, it was that excitement. And here's what I want you to carry with you today. Again, I don't know your story. I don't know your journey. But I know this. You have a cup of dirt. We all do. And so, what would it look like to just hold that up to God, whatever it is for you right now? Say, here is my cup of dirt. And I mean, I keep looking at it, hoping it'll be something besides a cup of dirt, but I just see a cup of dirt. So here's the invitation in the verse. That I am about to do something new. So keep checking. Keep looking. Keep holding out that cup of dirt and look at what I'm doing, because you are going to see it. You just have to start looking. And maybe you'll get to that day where you're like, I mean, maybe kind of it looks like, okay, it might be something that, but you will see it. And that's the invitation and the beauty of this verse. Whatever your space looks like, to take your cup of dirt, hold it up to him, and say, I'm going to keep watching, and I'm going to keep waiting, and I'm going to keep expecting, because here's what I believe. You don't waste anything. And that in that cup of dirt, something is going to come out of it. And when it does, one, I'm going to be watching, and two, I'm going to say, that's what God was up to. That's the invitation I want to give you this morning. As you guys step into a journey of discernment, that's really what it is. It's looking and watching and waiting to see what God is doing, to hear what he's doing, to start to perceive it, and then to follow with what he's doing. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then I'm going to hand it off to you. Yeah, so Lord, thanks for this picture, a picture of hope in desperate times, an invitation to be expectant, to engage our faith in ways that maybe we've never had to engage in before. God, I lift up a room of people not knowing the stories, but knowing there are a lot of cups of dirt. And knowing that in every one of those cups of dirt, you're at work. That whether we see it yet or not, we can't see the seeds that are under the soil, but when we keep watching, we eventually see what comes from that soil. And so I pray, as each one holds that cup of dirt, as they name that cup of dirt this morning, that there would be just an increased sense of expectation, a fresh engagement of faith that says, I don't know what God is doing, but I believe there's something there, and I'm going to see it, and I'm going to keep looking for it. And so we just give you the hard spaces in our journey. Thank you that you are at work. We're not asking you to work. You are at work. And so we're just asking that we would see it. In Jesus' name, amen.